Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast. My name's Taylor, and on today's episode, I was able to sit down with a runner who's had three very unique race experiences. From running her first race with her husband and building a good base, to surprising herself by Boston qualifying for her second race, and then finally PRing her third marathon after an ankle injury at mile nine and proving to herself that she can overcome anything. You'll get a lot of great insight from this episode, whether you're a new runner or experienced. So without further ado, please welcome Amanda. Amanda, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I'm really looking forward to hearing your story. This is great timing because you're a month after your third marathon or completing your third marathon. So I'm excited to break down your first couple marathon experiences. But before we get there, I'm curious where you got involved with running in the first place.
I actually got started during PE class in middle school. My friends made a bet about who could run a mile under 10 minutes. And I was wearing Converse, and I had never run before, so I really didn't think that I could do it, but I ended up being able to. So that sort of sparked my interest. And then in high school, I joined the volleyball team because all my friends were doing it as well. But we always began practice with a mile and a half run, and I started finding that that was my favorite part of practice. So I eventually ended up quitting volleyball. And in my third year of high school, I joined cross country. There's been lots of gaps in my running. I stopped in college and for a couple years after. But after I moved to North Carolina, I feel like that was when I first started getting serious about running, and it became a constant in my life here.
Cool. Yeah, that's great that you got involved with it from such an early age. And you said that you liked the running part of practice and not so much the volleyball side of things. So what do you think it is about running in particular that's really kept your interest for this long?
I think it's very meditative. It's just you against yourself, and you can go at whatever speed you want to. There are days when, maybe I just want to let something out, so I'm speeding out there. And there are days where I just want to take it easy and think about things. So I really like that aspect of it.
Yeah. So I think a lot of people will relate to that too. We've talked about it before, but it's a great place where you can process your emotions. You can think through things, even as simple as thinking through what you have to do for the next day. I think it's a great tool for to give yourself some space for that kind of thing. So that's really cool. So you said that you had a little bit of a gap from when you were running in high school to when you were running in North Carolina. So what did running, how did you get back involved with running when you moved out here?
Yeah, when I moved here, I wasn't really exercising much. It was just a lot of moving parts in my life. But once I got settled down here, I figured I really need to get off the couch. And I initially just wanted to be healthier. So I told my husband that I wasn't going to be motivated and stay consistent unless I signed up for a race or something like that. So we both signed up for our first marathon together, and that's sort of how I got back into it.
Oh, wow. So you didn't even go for 5K, 10K, half marathon. You both were let's sign up for the full thing and make it happen.
Yeah. We're if we sign up for a 5K, we might still just walk it or wing it. But there's no way we can wing a marathon.
Sure, totally. Wow, that's interesting. That's cool that you guys both took the jump together too. So I guess from there, were there races that you signed up in between, or how did you guys decide on a training plan to get to your first marathon?
So I Googled one. I honestly don't even remember what site it was from, but I Googled a beginner marathon plan. And we had no goal time or anything. Our goal was just to finish the marathon. I think we started running 4 days a week, and everything was the same pace, just easy runs, and then built up that mileage to actually get to finish the marathon.
Yeah. What was it like building mileage in the beginning? I know you said you were a runner before cross country distances. That's usually 3 to 4 miles, right, for cross country?
Yeah.
So how did that feel like once you got to building distance and maybe getting to like the, I don't know, 10K mark and then above beyond that, like what was it like building distance?
It was really hard, especially because I don't think I had any concept of like easy runs versus hard runs. I feel like in high school when I was running, it was just like, I never took it seriously. So I never spent any time doing research on like how to properly train. So it was kind of like, we would go out there and it'd be like, you know, today we're running 10 miles. Like, this is the first time I've ever run 10 miles, but we're just going to run it as hard as we can.
Yeah. And
so the day, like after our long run, or like, we would just be like on the sofa, trying to recover. So it was really hard, but really rewarding.
Sure, sure. Yeah, as training for your first marathon is, and I think like you made a good point there, a lot of it is uncharted. It's the first time you're running 10 and then the first time you're running 11 and 12. So a little bit of trial and error, I'm sure, in the beginning. What was it like going through it with your husband? Like, was it good? Was it nice having somebody also going through their first marathon experience at the same time to kind of bounce ideas off of, bounce how you're feeling and all that?
It was really nice. Like, I don't know that either of us would have, you know, successfully completed the training plan and the marathon without having each other, like holding each other accountable. Especially for long runs, like we always did those together on Saturdays or Sundays. Weekdays, like because of our work schedules, we would be on our own. But like, it's less daunting thinking about, you know, doing 15 mile or 20 miler when you have someone with you.
Right, right. Yeah, you're like, if we're in this together, if I'm going down, you're like, you're going down with me. It's probably a little bit comforting in that. Well, cool. Well, I should have asked this a little bit sooner, but how long was your training plan? Like, when did you sign up for it versus when the race actually happened?
We signed up in November, and then the race was like February, so I can't do math. That's like 4 months. Yeah.
Okay, so you guys went for it really quickly. So did you do any races in between, or you guys just followed the plan from like start to finish?
We just followed the plan from start to finish. No races in between.
Cool. Yeah, I only ask because I know a few people, like if they expand their training a little bit, they'll throw in a couple half marathons or something like that. But your true first race experience was a marathon, so I think that's really unique. What would you say the like high points of trainings were, and then what were some areas where maybe you struggled either mentally or physically through training?
I think one of the things that surprised me about marathon training was like the nutrition aspect of it. Like, I think a lot of people can relate, like when they first started running, it maybe was for like to lose weight or something like that. And I think that that was sort of the reason why I started as well. But during marathon training, you're always hungry and you're running a lot. So you need to eat a lot to, sustain all that running. So
sure.
I think that was challenging for me, just like that this is not like for weight loss. Like, this is so that I can do this race and for performance, and just balancing that.
Yeah. Do you remember like what adjustments you made? Were you just generally eating a little bit more before a long run, or were you doing something more on like the fuel side? Do you remember what you did to kind of counteract some of that?
We bought exclusively Honey Stinger gels. That's what I remember. Because like we didn't know much about gels or anything either, but like people would tell us like, you're supposed to, when you're running 20 miles, like you need to eat something.
Yeah. Yeah.
We like had Honey Stinger gels every 5 miles, definitely ate like a good sized meal a couple hours before the long run. And then just generally, yeah, eating more.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure you learned a lot as you went too, just based on how your body was feeling and made adjustments from there. Well, cool. So you said that your longest run that you ran through training was your 20 mile run. Is that right?
I think it was like a 22 miler.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. So got to the 22 mile mark. That's usually when people find out a lot about, you know, how the race distance is actually going to feel on their body. So how did the 22 mile run feel for you?
I was actually really surprised that it felt like very doable. Now, like, it wasn't easy, but
yeah,
it gave me a lot of confidence. Like, you know, it's just 4 more miles. and I'll have finished a marathon. So I was feeling pretty good about it after the 22 miles. I feel like the training plan I did definitely, like, we built a couple, like, 2 more miles, I think it was, every long run. And that worked well for me.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. That's good that it went that way. Cause yeah, like you said, it's a good confidence booster, I think, for race day to be able to get through that run and feel like, okay, it's actually obtainable now. It's something that's within reach.
Yeah.
So from there, did you do any sort of taper before your marathon or what did that period after your longest run look like?
Yeah, I did a 3-week taper. And it was, I mean, some people like say they get like the taper crazies and stuff, but honestly, like, I loved it. It was like, oh, now, like, it was just weird because I think the first week of taper was, long one was, like, 15 miles, something like that.
Yeah.
And it was weird thinking, like, 15 miles, like, oh, only 15 miles now.
Right. Yeah, looking back on where you were, like, probably a month or two before that, that was your long run. So having it on the calendar as an easy run was probably like, yeah, wow, I've really made it this far.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So taper run was pretty smooth. It seems like your training experience, for the most part, was pretty smooth. Like, you didn't have anything too crazy, anything too out of the norm. Got through it feeling pretty confident for race day. So what did the night before for race day feel like for you? Were you like crazy nervous, or because training was pretty smooth, were you feeling pretty confident?
I think I was feeling pretty confident. And because like my only goal was completion, I felt like that was very doable. And because my husband was going to run it with me as well, I think both of us were like, all right, like we've got this.
Yeah. Cool. So feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good. And what marathon did you run? I know I read it, but for the audience, what marathon did you end up running for your first marathon?
Valentine's Day Massacre Marathon.
Cool. That's a cool one to start with.
It was like a lot of people did it as a relay, so it was definitely like different. Doing laps around the park as the marathon.
Cool. Yeah. So if you don't mind, maybe just walk us through race day. What was the feeling like before when you were waiting for the starting line? And then what miles did you feel good? And what miles maybe were you feeling a little bit less than good?
Yeah. I don't can't speak for my husband, but I was very nervous the morning of.
Sure.
I think we got there like an hour early, and I had to go to the bathroom like 4 times before the race, and I was so scared that I was going to have to go during it.
Yeah.
And then we started. I was feeling great up through the half marathon, but definitely made the mistake of starting out way too fast. I think my first mile was like 7 minutes something. And my overall pace for the full marathon was like 9 minutes something. So there was a very big difference.
Yeah.
And yeah, after the half marathon point, it was getting harder and harder. And the weather, it like never snows in North Carolina, but it ended up snowing that day.
Oh, wow.
So I was wearing like a t-shirt because I was getting really hot in the beginning, and I like threw my jacket off. So the last half of the race was just like a really big mental struggle. Not only like the running part, but I was just freezing the whole entire time. And I was like, I cannot wait until this is over and like I can take a hot shower. So it was rough, but we finished.
Yeah, super rewarding. Your first experience always is, but snow in North Carolina. I live in North Carolina as well. That's bizarre for it to randomly be on a what you said February, a day in February.
Yeah,
it's so random. So like when you hit that part where you were starting to feel, you were starting to freeze a little bit, you were feeling really cold, you just wanted the whole thing to be done. Like what was the internal motivation, or what were you saying to yourself to get yourself to finish?
I think it was a lot of self-talk about, like, you know, we trained so hard for this. We, you know, finished our training plan so smoothly. And, like, I did the 22 miles and I felt great. So, there's, like, I can definitely do this 26 miles. And we're all doing it together. I think also just being in a race environment and seeing other people out there doing the same thing in the same conditions. It's definitely really, really well.
Totally. Yeah. Were there a lot of spectators at this marathon, or what did that look like?
I would say, like, at the beginning there were, before, you know, the weather got in the way, there were a lot of people. But by the end, there really weren't, because most people were doing it as a relay. They finished it a lot faster as well. So by the end, there really weren't that many spectators left. But at that point, like, I don't even think I was thinking about, like, what was around me.
Sure.
Like, I'm going to get through this no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Cool. So what was the finish line feeling like? I feel like there's two types of people at the finish line. It's either a euphoric feeling, it feels amazing, you just accomplished this thing, or you're so tired that you can't really process it right away. So what was the finish line feeling like for you?
I would say the first, very, like, euphoric, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. I think for every race I've run, I'm lucky that's the feeling I get. I'm like, I can't believe I finished. And then, like, all of a sudden, I'm like, I forget about everything around me. I forget to stop my watch. I'm like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. So a pretty cool race day experience for you. I mean, again, everything from training to finish line seemed like it went pretty smooth for you in the beginning. So that's pretty great. And I know you've ran two marathons since then. So when, after that race, did you decide, all right, let's run this back, let's start training over, let's do this thing over again?
I didn't want to run another marathon for a long time after that first one, to be honest, because of just, like, how difficult I think it was. And I was like, I'm never doing this again. Like, I'm going to stick with shorter distances. But I did end up signing for a half marathon, like, pretty soon after the marathon. And then I'm, like, getting my timelines mixed up. I ran my second marathon November of 2023. Mm-hmm. So about a year and a half after my first marathon.
Cool. So you said you signed up for another half marathon pretty quickly after. How was your body feeling after your first marathon and going into your first race back, I guess you could say?
I took 2 full weeks off of running. That's kind of what I've seen, is, like, recommended, and I just followed that. And then after the 2 weeks, we started training again, but I think it was only like 8 or 10 weeks until the half. But I figured, you know, we did all that training for the full marathon, like, we can do the half in a shorter training time. But I was, like, really surprised that the first week I started running again, like, I was immediately so sore, and I felt like I was gonna get an injury, and I was like, that's so strange, because I went through, like, the entire marathon training plan without feeling injured, and then, like, the week I come back from running is when I feel like I'm gonna get an injury.
Gotcha.
But I guess it was just, like, my body telling me that, like, I was probably not fully recovered from the marathon.
Yeah, a little bit of fatigue for sure. I know for me personally, after my first marathon, I didn't know what the heck I was supposed to be doing for recovery. So I asked this, like, knowing that I didn't know a lot myself. But for you, like, after the marathon, did you do anything in terms of recovery, like any sort of stretching or yoga or anything that you got into after the fact to help ease into training?
Not really. I think I was kind of like what you said. I didn't really know. I just knew I should have run for a bit. So I just didn't run and just took it easy for 2 weeks.
Yeah. I think a lot of people that I've had on here that are a little bit more experienced than myself, and you've even run 3 marathons, so you would know better than me, but taking some time after to really focus on, like, stretching and mobility, maybe a little bit of strength after a marathon, as long as you're not running, I think is definitely helpful to help kind of, like, speed up recovery and maybe help with your next race or your next training block or something like that. So cool. So how did half marathon day go for you? Because that was your first half marathon, right? Was after your first marathon?
Not quite. So I did a half marathon, like, a couple years prior.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. But this half marathon, I guess I was like, it was like, I don't even remember what time I ran on the first one, like, a couple years back before that, but I knew my goal was, like, a 150 half marathon. So it was like the first time I really had like a time goal for a race. And so I kind of did the same thing as my marathon, went out way too fast, and died a little bit at the end, but I did hit the goal. So I was really happy about that.
Amazing. Yeah, that's awesome. So, I mean, a sub 2 in a half marathon is amazing. So that congrats on that. Did you do anything different from training for your after your first marathon to half marathon? Like, did you do any sort of speed work or anything like that to help you get faster? Or was just a little bit of consistency there?
I did end up starting speed work. I did once a week. So that was like my first time doing speed work. So it was fun. I mean, I did all of it on the treadmill because I was just recording everything on my phone at that point. I didn't have a watch. So I was like, there's no other way for me to know how fast I'm running. So
yeah.
I did all the intervals on the treadmill. And I think that helped me like get a feel too for like what different paces would be like running.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. That if you don't have access to or you know, can't afford or even don't even want to get into spending money on a Garmin or anything like that in the beginning, I think, yeah, treadmill or going to your gym is a great way to get into speed work for sure. Well, cool. So how did we progress from there? How did we get to the point where you were signing up for your second marathon?
After that half marathon, I took a little bit of a break, like a lot of traveling, but like I felt the itch like to race again. So I think it was September of that year, 2022, where I was like, I'm going to like be really consistent and like, you know, not be running like 10 miles a week one week and then 20 miles another week. And just
mm-hmm.
So I started building up from like 15 miles that fall to 30 miles by the end of the year. And when I hit that, I was like, wow, like 30 miles, like I never thought that I would be like running this consistently like every single week. So I signed up for another half marathon in April, I think it was April of 2023,
mm-hmm.
With like another time goal of 145. And it seemed like impossible to reach at that point. Like 5 minutes just seemed like a lot to cut off. But I ended up hitting that goal and I was like, okay, maybe I should sign up for another marathon now. Cause like I'm on a roll.
sure.
So I signed up for one in the fall. And I started thinking about like running Boston because like, that's where I'm from. Like I've watched it before, like everybody around me growing up, like knew what that was. So it was like a big deal. Even outside of, you know, the running community back home.
Sure.
But like when I hit the 145 in the half marathon, I was like, how am I going to like run double the distance at the same pace?
Yeah.
So I didn't think that I was going to be able to do that in my second marathon, but like as training progressed, someone told me like, I think you can do it. Like, you should just adjust your goals now. You're like only halfway into your marathon training plan. Just like go for it. So I did. I like adjusted all my goal paces. I went for it and I definitely shocked myself when I actually ended up BQing my second marathon.
That's amazing. That's so cool. So I guess to take it back just a little bit, like what training plan did you use your second time around? And then what adjustments did you make as well?
I used the Runner's World sub 330 plan, I think it was. I didn't follow everything exactly because I think that plan had like specific paces that like you would try to run for like even your easy pace miles. And I was finding that I like could not, like it was just a lot of speed work and like the easy paces were too fast for me.
Gotcha.
So I definitely prioritize like being able to hit my speed work and just like slow down everything else. But for the most part, I followed that plan like pretty consistently.
Cool. Yeah. And then what did you feel like from your first marathon experience, take to your second marathon experience? Like, what do you feel like was the biggest impact? Was it the training plan, or was there anything else that you felt like was the difference maker the second time around?
I think like getting a feel for speed work. I mean, like a lot of it was experience. Like I had run a couple half marathons at that point, like 4 times, and like started incorporating the speed work. And then also just having like that base mileage. When I ran the marathon in November, like I had been running 30 miles or more every single week from the beginning of the year. So it was just a lot more like a better aerobic base.
Yeah. Yeah. Just being consistent. It would be pretty wild to BQ in your first, for your first marathon. So yeah, I think building that base and just keeping consistent is huge for sure. But that's great. So did you train for your second marathon with your husband as well? Or was this the first time you were kind of going out solo in training?
I didn't train with him. He was one and done.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, I trained by myself mostly. So that was definitely different. But I think like at that point, I was just like, I had already built the habit of like running. So it wasn't like before where I had to like force myself to get out the door. It was more like I wanted to get out the door. I was really motivated. I had a plan and a goal. So I really enjoyed training the second time around, probably more so than my first, because I just had more experience.
Yeah. Yeah, I just knew a little bit more. Could go out there and like push yourself a little bit more the more you know, for sure. Same question I kind of asked for the first one. Like where were the low points of training for your second marathon, if there were any?
It wasn't necessarily during the like 3 or 4 months before the marathon that I had like a low point. I think it was like a little bit earlier. When I was training for the half marathons earlier in the year, I started to get like really bad hip pain. And that was when I realized like I can't just be like speeding out there all the time. I do need to like take it easier with my easy runs and incorporate some strength training in. So I started doing strength training at least once a week, and like just listening to my body more. And I think that really helped when I started with the marathon training, that I like still kept up with the strength training. And I think like it was always on the back of my mind that like I might hurt my hip again. So I guess that would be like the lowest point, when like I would feel something and I'd be like, oh my God, I don't know if I'm like just being paranoid or like I need to take a step back.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that before. Just like it doesn't sound like you were fully injured, but like enough that it scared you a little bit. But I've heard that before from people who have injuries, that like once it happens, you're constantly on edge or you're constantly aware of it. I feel like I'm that way with my knees. I'll get like a weird pain on the outside of my knee and I'm like, oh, that's it. I'm done. I'm toast. But a lot of times, you know, I feel like it's not that bad, but I think you do need to take it serious and just listen to your body and all that, but definitely can be scary. So during that time when you're strength training and all that, I think that's a question that comes up a lot. What were you doing in strength training to like help your hips or help yourself, perform better?
I was doing a lot of like hip, like flexor, abductor, adductor exercises. I like to do like clamshells, glute bridges, and then like some single leg, work, like, Bulgarian split squats are one of my favorites.
Yeah. I think you're the first person to say that's your favorite. I feel like most people are like, we could do without the split squats.
I mean, I feel it working. I'm like, this is definitely sure. Something.
For sure. You can definitely feel it. Yeah. Well, cool. So strength training. And is that something you said that you continued all through marathon training for your second marathon, was you were strength training pretty consistently?
Yeah, I was. Now, it was really bad with, like, doing anything other than those exercises that I just told you. But
sure.
Up to that, like, pretty consistently throughout my marathon training.
Cool. Did you feel like it helped your hips? Like, could you feel any physical differences in, like, your knees or your hips from doing those kind of targeted trainings?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like my hips were always like the first thing to give out. Like not even when running, but like a long hike, like I would feel it in my hips. But after I started incorporating those exercises, like it wasn't like my hips that were like hurting me when I finished a long run. It was just like a general like I'm sore, but it's not like my hips are the thing that's like killing me.
Gotcha. Cool. So definitely was working, definitely was helping. Cool. So then fast forward through training a little bit, like was it still a 22-mile run that you ran for your longest run the second time around? Do you remember?
I think I did 21 miles time. I could be wrong. 21 or 22.
Okay, so pretty similar for your second plan. Was there anything notable about that long run? Same thing. Were you feeling pretty confident after or anything like that?
I was feeling very confident. It went really well. I think the big difference was that I like my first time running the 22 miles, I was just like going out there to finish it. And the second time around for this marathon, I incorporated, I think it was 10 miles at my goal marathon pace, and then 3 miles at half marathon pace, and then just like slow, easy warm up and cool down miles. And I felt really good at the end of that. And I think like getting a feel for like the pacing in the middle of the long run was also really nice.
Yeah. And did you say that so for your warm up and cool down runs, just for people that don't know, is that something that you were doing as part of the 22-mile run? Like those miles counted, or did you do those before and after the 22-mile run?
I counted it as part of the 22 miles. So I would like at that point I did have a Garmin, so I would like program it into my
Yeah.
watch, like 5 miles at whatever pace, no goal pace, and then the 10 miles at marathon pace and so forth.
Yeah, I do like that for anybody that has a Garmin. I think it's just under the training section on my watch. It's probably the same on everybody's, but it's super helpful. I do that for intervals. I'm sure you do that too. It's
Yeah.
great to be able to kind of pre-plan your runs, and it takes the like mental part of having to keep track of like staring at your watch the whole time. Oh, I'm at 400 meters. I need to slow down or whatever. It'll beep and it'll tell you if you're in zone or anything like that. So yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Cool. So how were you feeling before? Like you had some pretty ambitious goals on this when you were following this pretty strict plan and trying to Boston qualify, which is a massive goal for a lot of people. So how were you feeling like through your taper period and the couple weeks leading up?
I was definitely feeling much more nervous than I was for my first marathon. I was just like very like I need to rest, like I need to sleep well. I felt almost like pressured
Yeah.
to like be fully recovered, eat really well, eat a lot but like healthy. So I think it was definitely a lot more pressure, which made me really nervous for the race.
Yeah, which pressure and sleep are like two things that probably contradict each other a little bit. But yeah, I can totally understand that. So, and where was your second marathon? Was it at somewhere local to where you live, so you got to like sleep in your own bed and all that, or did you have to go somewhere or travel somewhere for your second one?
It was in Richmond. It was only like a 4 hour drive, so we did like stay. We went like one night earlier, so it was nice to like settle in there before the run.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, cool. So it didn't have to go too far. And then race morning, was it like I'm assuming it was a pretty early start, but was there any sort of like transportation? Did you have to use a shuttle or anything like that, or did your husband drop you off? What did race morning look like?
It was actually really smooth. I mean, if anyone is thinking about running Richmond, like I really like it was a very smooth experience. We just parked at a parking lot like close to the start line and just showed up there. There was no like issues with having to take a bus or like
That's
shuttle
great. Yeah, that's great, because I think that adds a whole other level to race day when there's like a logistical thing that you have to figure out ahead of time.
Right.
So that's cool that it was pretty close to the start and you got to just like get to the start and focus on what you needed to do. What was the start line feeling like? Was it the same as before, where you were afraid, like using the porta potties quite a bit and like afraid or like nervous for the start and everything? What was that like?
Yeah, it was the same. I think that's just a common thing for me at all races now. I just show up
Yeah.
really early and then like I use the porta potty, and like once I'm done using it, I stand right back in line because I'm like, what if the line grows really long?
Sure. You're like, I'm going to be first here no matter what.
Exactly. So similar experience, very nervous. I did find like the 3:30 pacer at the start line. So it was like a pretty crazy feeling, like, oh my gosh, like I am like going to follow this group and like try to hit this specific goal.
Yeah. Was that the strategy the whole time? You were, it's like ahead of time you were thinking, I'm going to find the 3:30 pacer and I'm going to stick with them the whole time. Was that like premeditated?
Yeah, it was, especially because like I really wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it. And I was like, there's probably a high chance I might hit the wall the later miles and I won't be able to keep up with them. But like, I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to stick with them and just like hang on for as long as I can.
Yeah, cool. So let's break this one down, because this was an important race for you. So I want to kind of maybe break it down a little bit slower and hear how you were feeling throughout the race. So like, what were the, what was the first half marathon like for you?
The first half I felt like was really smooth. I had these like hand warmers, because at the beginning of the race was kind of cool, but it was like ideal temperature for a marathon. Mm-hmm. And like, I accidentally missed the first water stop, so I, like, was freaking out, or, like, my first stop that I was going to take with my gel. So I was, like, weighing the pros and cons. I'm like, should I skip this gel? Should I just take it without water? Because I'm supposed to take it with water. So, like, all these thoughts were going on. So I ended up taking the gel without water, but I felt good, like, no digestive issues. I accidentally dropped both of my hand warmers while I was taking the gel. But
oh, shoot.
At that point, I had, like, warmed up. So it was all right. And I think the first half went by really quickly. Like, the course was really beautiful. And the group I was with, like, wasn't so huge. But it was, like, a good enough size where, like, you just felt like you were together with a group.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the cool part about following a pacer is you're not alone, especially some of the more, I don't know how big Virginia is, but a lot of the more local races that can help you feel like you're in the race environment when people are maybe a little bit more spread out. But I guess I'll pause there. How big is the Virginia Marathon, if you remember?
I don't remember, but it's a couple thousand. So it's not like a tiny race.
Okay. Yeah. So you got a good amount of people. Cool. And do you typically rely on the aid stations for the most part for your marathons, or do you bring any sort of like handheld with you?
I relied solely on the aid stations. I guess like in training, I never really got used to like holding anything. It just felt really uncomfortable. So I'd always like loop around to get water, like leave it in my car, or leave it in, at like the front of my house. So because I just like wasn't used to holding anything with me, I just relied on the aid station. I would just carry my gel, but not water.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's important to not switch things up on race day. I think I talked about it a couple episodes ago, but somebody asked me why I bring my pack with me. It's like, that's how I trained. If I took it off, that would be weird for you. You didn't train like that. So if you put on a pack randomly or pulled a handheld on race day, that would be a little off if you didn't train like that.
Yeah.
Cool. So first 13, you were feeling pretty good. What did the next, say, 10 look like 13 to 23? How were you feeling?
I have to say, like, the whole race went really smoothly. So, like, the next 10 also, I mean, after the last couple miles were rough, but
sure.
The next 10 was going as planned. I was still following the pacer. And I think that was, like, my confidence grew over the race because, like, I thought, like, mile 16, like, I was going to be, you know, really, really tired by then, but I still felt really good. So I had no complaints. I mean, there were a couple of hills where I was like, oh, gosh, am I starting to get tired? Oh, gosh, is this where it all, like, goes down? But, like, we would go up and then we would go down and, like, I would recover on the downhills. It was great.
Yeah, that's great. Do you think it would have been a different experience if you didn't follow the pacer group? Like, if you were just relying on your own watch, would it have been a lot different?
I think so. I'm just, like, not very good at pacing myself, I think. Because, like, a couple during my taper weeks, I had done like a couple of short runs with marathon pace, relying on like my Garmin to tell me whether or not I was in pace. And it just like kept going like, you're going too fast, you're going too slow, you're going too fast, you're going too slow. So I think like following the pacer like definitely took a lot of like the mental weight pacing out of the question.
Yeah, totally. What goes through your head on race day? Like, are you just thinking when you're following the pacer? I mean, specifically, like, are you, if you're not focusing on your watch or anything, that are you just thinking like form? Are you thinking breath? Like, what do you typically keep in mind?
I think at the beginning of the race, I definitely just like tune into how my body is feeling, and then before I get too tired, I try to let my mind wander. So especially when I'm following a pacer and I don't have to like think about how fast I'm running, I like try to take my mind off of it. I was like looking at the lake and like admiring the sky. I'm like anything to get my mind off so I'm not thinking about like how tired I am, I guess.
Yeah. That probably helps just like save mental energy too, to just let your mind do whatever it wants, be a little distracted, just like move your body one foot in front of the other, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Cool. So then you said at the end, like everybody, you hit that, maybe not a wall, but you started to feel it towards the end. So what was the last couple of miles like?
Yeah, that was when I definitely was like, okay, this is hard. The last 5K was a little rough. I think at like mile 23, I was like, okay, this isn't terrible. I think maybe I can like go ahead of the pacer. So I started going a little faster actually, and I passed the pacer, but then at mile 24, I was like, that was a bad idea. Like, I'm really tired. But all I could think about, I guess, was like, I'm so close to the finish line and I know I'm going to hit my goal as long as I'm in front of the pacer. I would just will not let the pacer pass me. So I was not looking at my watch at that point. I was just going for it. But the feeling like hitting 26, and I heard the pacer behind me, and she was like, oh shoot, like I'm not sure if we're on schedule for 3:30, and I was like,
shoot.
Oh crap, I need to speed up. Like, I wasn't looking at my watch, so I had no idea you know where we were, but I ended up speeding up, and then I saw 3:28 something on the clock before I crossed the finish line. So it was definitely like an amazing feeling.
That's awesome. God, but I'm sure your stomach sunk when you heard that behind. That's like the last thing you want to hear from your pacers, that they're not on pace.
Yeah, I was like, oh, like this is a little close to the end of the finish line to be hearing that.
Yeah, right. Well, great. I mean, what an amazing accomplishment. That's amazing that you were able to Boston qualify on your second marathon. I'm sure the afterwards was just feel like a, like you said, every feeling, finish line feeling for you has been euphoric and amazing. What did you do after that race? Did you go out and celebrate anything like that?
Yeah. Well, after I crossed the finish line, I think I was like, after the euphoria and all that, I was like, okay, I need to go get water. And my husband was at like mile 24 or 25 cheering me on. So he wasn't at the finish line. So I was like so tired, I couldn't even open the bottle of water. I'm like, oh my gosh, I like, I'm going to ask a random person to help me. But after all that, like, we went out to eat lunch. We spectated like the end of the race a little bit. And then like walked around town. Richmond was a really cool place. So I didn't really want to miss out on the exploring part of it, even though I was so tired from the race. I think like half the time I was like trying to find a chair to sit on.
Yeah.
But it was really fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, and it speaks to the like level of fitness you were at finishing that race and still being able to like walk around and go out to lunch and like spectate a little bit. It shows that you put in a lot of work through training. So that's just like, yeah, another props to you. Did you experience any sort of cramping or anything like that after, or you were feeling pretty good in that sense?
I was feeling pretty good in that sense. I know a lot of people have like get digestive issues from running, and I do too, but it's always after the race and not during. So I would say I'm pretty lucky in that sense. Like, I felt great during the race. Like, everything, like all the little tummy troubles and stuff always happen after the race.
Gotcha. Yeah, I guess that's a better problem to have. It always sucks to have it GI issues either way, but better after the race than during. Well, cool. Well, I want to fast forward just a little bit, because I know we were talking before we started recording about your third marathon experience, and you had quite the experience the third time around. So what was race day like the third time around?
So I was also feeling very nervous for this race. I had like a pretty aggressive goal, and I feel like in the past, like, I felt like my improvements were like really fast. But this time around, like, I definitely like plateaued a little bit, wasn't really sure where I was at with like my fitness level. And this one was in Maine, so I flew to Boston and then drove up to Maine. But the difference, I guess, for this one too, is that my parents were coming, and that was like the first time they were gonna watch me in like a marathon. So I was really excited about that.
Yeah. So different area. You were flying to this one instead of driving. Like, and your parents were coming. So a lot of things were much different than the first couple times around. What was your goal in this one? You said you had a pretty aggressive goal for your third one.
It was initially 3:20, but like closer to the race, I was like, I think maybe like a 3:22. So that's kind of what I had in my head going into it.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. And you also said that you were feeling like a little less confident in your base this time around. Was it just like a little bit different training block, or because you plateaued, you were feeling a little nervous? What was that like?
Yeah, I think it was like the plateau. Like, for the first time, I like wasn't hitting all my paces in like my workouts. Like, some workouts I would, some workouts I wouldn't. And I know like people always say like you have good days and you have bad days, but it seemed like before, like, every day was a good day. Whereas like in this training cycle, I was like, okay, like I don't know, like I'm just, my body's just like feeling extra tired these days, and like I don't seem to be hitting what I want to be hitting.
Gotcha. Yeah. How close was your second and third marathon to each other?
My second was in November of 2023, and then my third was May. So had about like 6 months in between.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. So you pretty much like went from first marathon, maybe took some time off, and then went immediately into training for your third marathon. Is that about right?
Yeah. And I think that definitely had to do with it, because like I didn't have as much time to like, you know, build up, like do some strength training before, and like just like rest more before like mentally going back into like tough training.
Yeah, you dove right in. So cool. So you flew to Maine, you're there. You're let's say like day before. How were you feeling before the race?
Super nervous. And I was like scoping out, you know, cuz it's a new place, so like I have to scope out like where am I going to like carbo load and
sure,
all that stuff. And the packet pickup was the day before, so we did that and walked around. Like, it was nice though, because I feel like it was a pretty small town, and like the hotel we were staying at, like I think a lot of people from the race were also staying there. So it was nice to just like see other runners around.
Right. Yeah. Helps you kind of get the right mindset the day before. Yeah. Cool. So what was race day like? Like what, I guess we could break it down the same way. What was the first half marathon like, and what was the start line like for you?
Yeah, this one was definitely interesting, because the first few miles of the race, like I just didn't feel confident like I did in like my previous races. I was really in my head about it. I think because I wasn't as confident going into the race, I was like,
sure,
am I going too fast? Am I going too slow? I just like was, my head was all over the place. And then I was like making up digest GI issues. I was like, oh my God, I think my stomach hurts.
Oh, you sure?
So It was kind of a rough couple first miles. There was no like 3:22 pace or anything, but there was a 3:20 pacer. So I kind of went into it thinking like I'll not quite follow the 3:20 pacer, but just be like a little bit behind them.
Yeah, like you want to see him in the distance, but you not necessarily keep up. Yeah.
Right. So that was like, I think, more mentally challenging than just like trying to stay with the pacer. But I realized that the 3:20 pacer was also going like way faster than 3:20 pace. So I decided like early on that I was just going to pace myself with my Garmin. And then mile 9, I like tripped over the side of the road. And that's when I sprained my ankle, for like between mile 9 and 10. And I was like just so shocked, I think, to start. I'd never fallen like in any of my runs or races or anything like that. So I like didn't really know what to do because it was pretty bad. It wasn't like I could just, you know, stand up and like keep running. Like I felt a lot of pain. I wasn't even sure if I was able to stand up. So a really nice lady who was watching like ran over, tried to help me. And it was just really scary because I was like, I trained so hard for this race, and like I always say, like, I know I can do it, but like you don't want to push through like a really bad injury, or you might not be able to. So I had definitely considered like dropping at that point because I wasn't able to get up. I think I was on the ground for maybe a little bit over 2 minutes. I really wasn't sure because after a little while I was like, all right, there's no way I'm finishing this race, I guess. So I stopped my watch, like, I guess this is it. But then, I saw like the 3:30 group pass me and I was like, I'll try one more time to get up. And if not, like, I guess this is it. And I was able to stand up. I took a few steps and I was like, okay, this doesn't feel too terrible. So I started my watch and I started running again. And I think like I was like so fueled by like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this happened to me, that I just like started speeding up really quickly. I was like, I'm gonna get back to where I was in this race. And yeah, that's kind of how that went.
Just wild. Yeah. I mean, that like that's got to be so disheartening for like that type of race that you flew to, even that your parents were there, like that had to just not feel, that couldn't feel great. So like, how did your foot, I guess I want to ask, how did your ankle feel when you got back up and you started running? Did you still feel quite a bit of pain, or there was just so much adrenaline that you were maybe not feeling it so much?
I think there was just so much adrenaline that, yeah, I really wasn't feeling it that much. I'm like, it was kind of wild to like feel like I couldn't even stand up to like a couple minutes later be running again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, once I started moving again, the road was flat, so it felt pretty okay. And I think I was just like, all that adrenaline was like, I need to catch up. I need to get back to where I was. My parents and my husband were planning to be at mile 14. So I was like, I'm going to see them there. And that's going to be like, you know, more than halfway. So that's like all I was thinking about then.
Let's get to mile 14, that to be more than halfway, like you said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's crazy. That's gotta take a hit to your confidence for sure. What was like, I keep asking this question over and over again, but what was going through your head during that point? Just get to 14? Or were you still thinking I might DNF, I'm just gonna feel this out? What were you thinking at that point?
I think at that point I was like, well, if I'm running, I'm not gonna DNF. And I think in hindsight, like, I'm not saying the fall helped me, but it kind of did help me in a lot of ways mentally, because at the beginning of the race, like, I kept, like, making up all these, like, things that weren't actually problems, like how I thought I had GI issues, or, like, I thought I couldn't go fast enough. I think, like, all that just, like, went out the window after I got back up. It was just, like, it'll be, like, pretty amazing to just finish as fast as I can, so, like, don't overthink it.
Yeah, Yeah, that's a good point. It took a lot of the unknown out of it. You they talk about like ABC goals. You were on C at that point. I just need to finish this thing, and I need to push through it. I can't think about anything else.
Yeah.
What was it like seeing your parents and your boyfriend your husband at 14 after that injury? What was it like seeing them?
It was amazing. It definitely gave me like a really big boost. I think like mile 14 was my fastest in the race because I was just like so happy to have made it there.
Yeah.
And like I was waving. I didn't want them to know that anything was wrong either because like I know my parents would freak out and be like, "You need to stop running right now." Like,
sure.
So I like pretended like I was totally fine. And I think that helped me like mentally as well.
Push through. Yeah. Cool. Well, what was the rest of the race like? I mean, did the injury or the foot pain ever come back up, or everything from there was pretty smooth?
It was up and down, I would say. I think like after mile 14, I realized that I was like going way too fast because of all the adrenaline, and like I wasn't going to be able to sustain that throughout the race. So I slowed down, and then like there was a group of like girls that were running, and I was like, oh, like it'll be so much better if I just run with them and not just be off on my own, like trying to pace myself to who knows what at this point.
Yeah.
So I stuck with them for the majority of the race after mile 14. I think from 14 to like 20, 21, I was with that group. And they were going at like a 3:22 pace, actually. So I'm like, this is like actually perfect. Like, I don't think my time will be 3:22 anymore, but this was the pace I was going for. And it was really nice to have them, like, people were cheering us on because we were like a big group of like 10, I think, people. And then after mile 20, like, everyone started going their own way. Like, they always say, like, the last 6 miles is like the race, and the first 20 miles is a warm up, and that's kind of how it felt. It was really, really tough the last couple miles. I think one, because you know you're tired already, two, because like the group was just splitting up, and then three, the course was just got a lot tougher actually. There was like some parts that were like they had sand and like rocks, and that was kind of like messing with my ankle because it wasn't like an even road anymore. So it did kind of hurt a little bit, but like nothing bad enough for you know me to have to stop or anything. But I think the last couple miles was just thinking like I made it through the hardest part after the fall, and so I'm gonna see this thing through.
Yeah, might as well finish now. You already got through the hard part.
Yeah.
Cool. So where did you end up time-wise, if you don't mind me asking, by the end of that one?
It was at 3:24.
Which is still amazing.
And I was really happy with that, given everything that happened. And I guess I was pretty – another thing that I was thinking about, like, was like, wow, I think, like, I can read my body really well because, like, if I wasn't on the ground for, you know, 2-ish minutes, like I would have hit my time goal exactly. So it was pretty like, it was like a confidence booster in another way. I would say like that. I had a good sense of like what I thought I could do.
Yeah. And maybe, hopefully I'm not putting words in your mouth, but it's like, you almost had to have a rough race experience to like prove that your second race experience was not just a fluke, I guess. Do you feel like that, or am I off base there?
No, for sure. That definitely helped me be like, okay, it wasn't a fluke, and I also am not plateauing. Like, I am still improving.
Yes. Yes. That's great. All right, cool. Well, I have to ask, since you kind of Boston qualified, I mean, twice, the first time was your actual Boston qualifier, do you have plans to run Boston as your next race, or is that in the cards for you in the future?
I would love to, especially, you know, because I'm moving back to Boston.
Yeah.
And I think it just helps so much to have like support around you, like having, like I said, having my parents there for like my race in Maine. I think a lot of people are like, oh, if you run Boston, like I'm gonna come watch you, like friends. Like I've never had like a bunch of friends come out and support before, so I think that is like a big motivator. So I'm going to apply and hope I get in for next year.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, thank you so much for walking us through your three marathon experiences. You had three very unique experiences. And I think that, I mean, myself and the audience like can take a lot from each one about how you were able to build your base and then how you were able to like go for this crazy goal for your second one and hit it. And then your third one where things kind of went awry and you were still, you know, pretty on par with what you were hoping to accomplish. So yeah, just thank you for breaking all of those down. My last couple of questions here are more just kind of data that I'm collecting at the end for newer runners or anybody looking to get into running. I always kind of give the disclaimer that, you know, it's your own journey. You should be doing trial and error. You should be testing things out for yourself. But for you, you mentioned Honey Stinger before, but were there any other fuel options that you felt like were really, really, really good for you through your different training blocks?
Yeah, I really liked the Huma gels. I actually don't really use Honey Stinger anymore because I'm just like so addicted to the Huma gels. I like the fruity flavor, like strawberry, blueberry.
Yeah, I like Huma too. They're a little bit thinner, I feel like, yeah. Which is nice, like as a texture for sure. Yeah. Cool. And then for shoes, what do you like for shoes? Like, did it change over time, or have you been pretty consistent with the brands that you like?
I've been pretty consistent with like my everyday shoe, which is like the Brooks. I kind of switched off between the Brooks Ghost and the Brooks Glycerins, but that's like what I do for all my easy runs. And then for like speed workouts, I'll use the Saucony Endorphin Speeds.
Yeah.
And I like those a lot as well. And then I have the Pros for like race day and like select few speed workouts.
Gotcha. Cool. I use pretty much the exact ones. I've got the Glycerins and the Speeds. So that's cool. Those are great shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. And then last question for you is just what advice would you give to somebody who is maybe a little bit earlier on in their journey, somebody who's maybe trying to build a base to run their first marathon or thinking about running their first marathon? What advice would you give them?
I would say just listen to your body and, you know, take it slow. I don't think there's any rush to like, you know, hit a certain time or like anything like that. I think it's just like enjoy the process, and have fun. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. Just do it. That's the advice is just go out and do it. You'll surprise yourself for sure. Well, cool. Well, what's on the calendar next for you? I know you just ran this race in May, so maybe not yet, but is there anything coming up for you that you're training for right now?
Nothing specific right now. I'm about like 6 weeks out from the ankle injury, and it's like not quite, I mean, it's well enough to run, but not, I haven't done any speed workouts or anything like that. So I'm just going to see where it takes me. I think a couple more weeks and it should be pretty good. My husband and I were actually supposed to do a 1 mile race against each other. So I guess that's like, that's our next
that's coming up.
Race.
That's awesome. Is that like it's just an impromptu thing you guys are doing or an actual race that you guys are running?
No, it's just an impromptu thing. But a couple of our friends were like, we want to watch, like, we're going to make a race.
I love that. Yeah, you'll have to post about that so everybody can see the results of that for sure. Well, cool. Well, thank you again for breaking everything down. That was amazing. Like I said, I think we can all take a lot from your race experiences here. And for anybody that's wanting to follow along with your race against your husband or anything else that you have coming up, where can we find you on social media?
It's Amanda _on the run.
Perfect. Well, I'll put it in the show notes too so people can follow along with you there. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on and I'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.